This morning we're going to turn to Joshua 24. We're going to take just a week away from our series entitled Build, and we're going to have a special message today for fathers. And I believe there's tremendous helps here, not only for fathers, but for moms and for every Christian that wants to live for the Lord in this day. But specifically, we're going to talk to the fathers today. Fathers need encouragement. I heard of a grandson that climbed up on his grandfather's lap, and he said, "Papa, how old are you?" And he said, "I'm 62. And the little boy thought about that for a while. He said, "Did you start at one?" And sometimes we feel a little older as time goes by. And I heard of a lady that asked her friend, she said, "I suppose you have some kind of a memento in that locket there on your necklace." And her friend said, "Well, yes, I do. It's a locket of my husband's hair." And her friend said, "But your husband is still alive." She said, "Yes, but his hair is gone." And so sometimes, fellas, we're growing a little older, maybe losing some of our hair, but that's why we're glad to have a special day, maybe to encourage fathers just a little bit. And so I want to welcome all the dads and let you know how glad we are that you're here. Joshua 24:14. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Would you say that last phrase with me, beginning with the word "but"? Ready, begin. "But as for me and my house," you know, in the day in which we live, that's a decision that we've got to make consciously. There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot of different kinds of families and redefining of the family. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's talk about that today. Let's pray first of all. Father, thank you for this time in your house. Thank you for the blessings of this day already, the music and the fellowship. Now bless the preaching of your word and give me strength and power to preach it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning as we celebrate Father's Day, we want to look at the life of a great father in the Old Testament. A man who not only led the nation of Israel into the conquest of the promised land, but more than that, a man who also led his family in the ways of God. I might say to you this morning that you may receive a promotion at work, you may receive some blessing in your career, or you may attain education, you may attain goals that are financial in nature, you may win the whole world, but if you lose your family, you have paid too high a price. Joshua was a man that won many victories for his nation, but he was a man that did not do it at the expense of his family. And I believe one of the reasons Joshua was such a strong and courageous leader is because the Spirit of God rested upon his life. The Bible tells us in Numbers 27 and verse 18 that he was a man in whom the Spirit dwelt. And if you're born again Christian this morning, the Spirit of God dwells in you as well. And I believe this morning as we look into the life of Joshua, we're able to see that he was a man who had remembered that without the anointing of God, he could do nothing. Without the Spirit of God, he could go nowhere. And he was also a man that had looked back into the past history of Israel, and he remembered that every time they turned away from God, they suffered punishment. But every time they followed God, they were blessed. And so here he is in the last portion of the book of Joshua, reminding the children of Israel to follow after God. You see, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it again. And we need to be reminded today that God has called us out. And he was reminding the children of Israel that God had called them out of Egypt, and that they were not to worship the gods of the Egyptians or the Amorites, but they were to worship Jehovah God. And you and I that are saved have been called out of this world. And we're not to worship the gods of this world, but we're here this morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, how can a man in today's culture, how can a person, perhaps a single mom, perhaps a single dad, how can we say and how can we live out this truth? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What does that mean anyways? This morning I want to share three principles with you that I believe will be helpful if you would like to have a house that serves the Lord. If you would like to have a family testimony that you are a family that follows God. In the first place, if that will take place in your life, you must learn to revere the Lord. You as a father, you as a mother, you as a husband and wife must revere the Lord. Look what it says in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Would you say that with me, please? Now therefore, fear the Lord. And the word fear means to honor. It means to respect the Lord. We live in a day when God's name is profaned. In fact, sad to say that many of you men, when you hear the name of Jesus Christ this week, it will likely be from some pagan man who is cursing at work this week. If you hear the name of Jesus throughout the week, unless it's on radio or in your home, it's going to be often in the sense of a derogatory term in which the name of the Lord is used. But God says, I don't want you to treat me with gutter talk or disrespect. He says, I want you to fear the Lord. And Joshua reverenced the Lord. Joshua practiced the presence of the Lord. He lived in the presence of God. It wasn't just a Sunday or a Saturday thing. It was something that was a part of his everyday walk. He practiced the presence of the Lord. And a man ought to live in such a way that everyone who watches his life knows that he is a Christian, but especially his children at home should know that he is a Christian. Now, someone might say, well, I believe in fearing the Lord and reverencing the Lord, and I certainly don't want to use language that is derogatory or with cursing about the Lord. And yet, Pastor Chappell, how does someone really revere the Lord? How is that expressed, this matter of awe, this matter of reverence for the Lord? Well, I believe one of the ways we express our reverence for the Lord is by our trust in the Lord. By trusting the Lord with all of our heart. Notice in Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 6, a moment in the life of Joshua. The Bible says, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they speak unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Would you say those last three words, please? Fear. Now, remember the story. God had promised to Moses that he was going to deliver his children out of Egypt. And you remember the story. Moses went to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And so God brought plagues upon Egypt. And finally, God delivered his people, and they were able to cross over the sea on dry land. Pharaoh's army was swallowed up by the sea. And then God said, now, I don't want you journeying 40 years in the wilderness. I want you to make your way into the promised land. Unfortunately, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel balked in their faith. And as they came to Kadesh Barnea, they did not follow after the word of the Lord. And because of that, they journeyed around for 40 years. But the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 1 that Moses, my servant, is dead. God came to Joshua and said, now therefore, lead my people over into the promised land. And so Joshua was going to be the instrument. And prior to that time, God had used 12 men under Moses to be spies into the land. They went into the land, and one of the reasons that they were so afraid is because 10 of the men came back and said, Moses, there is no way we should go into the land. There are giants in that land. They have huge spears. They're going to eat us up and spit us out. We should not go into the land. And in essence, those 10 men feared the inhabitants of the land. They feared the culture of the land. They feared the walls of the cities. And they said, we're not going to go in and fight. But Joshua said to those 10 men, fear them not. He said, hey, we ought to be fearing and reverencing the Lord and His word, not those men over there. Our God is able. Our God can take those men down, and fear them not. And fathers, we need to have a vision for our family today where rather than fearing the culture and training up some children, that rather than fearing peer pressure, they would say, I want to fear and honor God. I want to do what God has to say. So that when your teenagers go down to play with their friends, and maybe their friends are saying, hey, let's take some cigarettes, let's take some marijuana, try this liquor, hey, let's take off our clothing, and let's take pictures, and all the other things that teenagers say, that your teenager would say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fear you people. I'm going to live in the awe of my God. I'm not going to fear them. Fear them not, but fear God the most, you see. And I'm telling you right now that there needs to be the practicing of the presence of God, so that when there is temptation that comes into the life of a father, even in this room this morning, that rather than fall into that temptation, rather than turning God off like a light switch, that we would say, I'm going to live in the fear of a holy God. I'm going to reverence God and remember my God. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. May I say to you this morning that God loved you so much that Jesus Christ, his son, came and shed his blood for your sin, and that your sins and mine are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has a vision for you this morning, and that vision is that one day when you're in heaven, that you will stand there without spot and without blemish, and that you'll be welcomed into heaven by the grace of God. By the way, how many of you are glad Jesus has that vision for you this morning? Let me ask your dad something. Do you have a vision for your family? Do you teach your family to fear God and his commandments? Do you teach them that they ought to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their heart? The Bible says to consider the end of a thing. Do you ever consider that when you're 18 years of having those children in your home or more, when those years are done, do you ever ask yourself, how's that going to look when we come to that point? Yesterday, we had a beautiful wedding here at the church, and two families that were both saved in this church more than 20 years ago. And they've listened to the Word of God, and they've been discipled in the faith, and they've loved God and loved their pastor, and they've listened to the teaching of God's Word, and they've prayed and dreamed for their children. And they taught their children the things of God at home, and together they raised them up for the Lord. And yesterday, those two young people stood on this platform. In their purity, they stood here, and in love with one another, they gave their lives to one another in holy matrimony. It was a beautiful day. Why? Because some parents taught some children how to love God and how to reverence God and how to look to the sanctity of marriage. And parents, those days do not come if we do not have a vision for those days, and if we do not put our trust in the Word of God day after day after day. We must trust God, and we must show him our reverence by our trust. Secondly, we must also submit to God. We must, as fathers, be in submission to God. Now, let me give you just a leadership principle this morning. Everyone that has been blessed with a position of leadership, whether it is as a father or in your corporate life or wherever, must always remember that those who are in leadership are also under leadership. Those who have authority are also under authority. Let me show you how that happened in Joshua's life. Look at Joshua 5:13, if you would. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now let me give you the context here. Now they have passed into the promised land. Now they're going to begin their battles against the five Canaanite nations. The first one was the city of Jericho. This was the city, and I've been there in modern day Jericho. At the time, it had tall walls surrounding the city. How many of you remember the story that they were to go around each day one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they were to go around seven times, and as they did, the walls of Jericho crashed in. Why? Because Joshua was willing to submit to the plan of God. But in this portion of scripture we just read, on the night before this all began, Joshua went out by the wall and he saw someone. And he said, "Hey, are you for us or are you against us?" And the voice came back, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Now we call this in theological terms a theophany. And what that means, it is an Old Testament appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Remember that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus did not begin His existence in Bethlehem's manger, and even at this moment, He comes as the captain of the Lord of the hosts, and He comes to Joshua, and notice what it says, "Loose thy shoe," verse 15, "from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." And Joshua began to worship the Lord. In other words, Joshua, though he was in charge of all the people, had to worship the Lord. Now I want to tell you, I thank God for men. No matter how their authority is in this world, no matter how their rank is at their work, men who humble themselves to read the Word of God. I often worry about presidents and governors who don't have time for church, don't have time for prayer, don't have time to humble themselves. My Bible still says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land." May I say, you're never going to get too big for God, sir. May I say that we're never going to have so much authority that we don't need to worship our God. James 4 and verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Men, I want you to see that this morning. James 4, 7. Let's read it together. Come on now, read it like men, all right? James 4, 7, ready to begin. "Submit yourselves therefore to God." How many of you men were ever in the military? Would you raise your hand? All right, now let's say this like you're in the military, all right? Let's say it together now. Come on now, speak to me here. James 4, 7. You got to take this one in a 3x5 card to work this week, okay? James 4, 7, ready to begin. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." Now, Flip Wilson used to say, "The devil made me do it." And I got to say to Flip, resist the devil. Resist the devil. And my grandmother used to tell me, "If you're tired of the devil's apples, get out of his orchard." You're not going to resist the devil in that club. There's no way. You're not going to resist the devil in that bar. There's no way. You're not going to resist the devil on that internet site. There's no way. Hey, there comes a time when a man says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to submit to the Lord." That's what we're going to do. So how do we show Him honor? First of all, we must revere the Lord. Revere the Lord. Notice secondly, we must remember the Lord. We must remember the Lord. Now look at verse 14 again. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." Now, to fear the Lord is an attitude of the heart, but to serve the Lord is an action of our lives. So to fear the Lord is the spirit of the heart, but this matter of remembering the Lord and serving the Lord is to live it out in our everyday life. Jesus Himself said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know, why do you have the little bumper sticker? Why do you wear the little cross on your neck? Why do you say I'm your Lord, but you don't do what I say? Jesus says. And if we're really going to show honor to Him, if we're really going to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," then we need to remember Him. And I want to show you a few quick ways to remember your Lord. First, through genuine worship. Through genuine worship. Now notice what it says here, "and serve Him in sincerity and truth." The word "serve" here really relates to what the priest did in the tabernacle or the temple. It relates to coming together, preparing for the worship. It relates to the song. It relates to the serving of the Lord in the tabernacle. And He says, "I want you to serve with sincerity." Now listen this morning. I don't ever want to sound like a pastor that's just, you know, trying to be frustrated with somebody that might talk a little in church or looking at some notes or doing certain things. Some people don't know the Lord. Some people have never been trained in how to act in church. And I'm not against having fun in church. I mean, sometimes we need to be able to laugh. I often say, if I can't have fun in church, I can't have fun anywhere, because I about live at church. I spend most of my life in church, and I'm glad we can have fun in church. But I just want to say this morning that when we come together to worship, the Bible tells us that we're to come in sincerity. In other words, we're not attending the movie theater this morning. And some people come to church like it's kind of an entertainment thing, and you go in there and, you know, you do the thing and you sing a song or two, you hear a story or two, and you go out. Listen, we ought to be in church with a sincerity in our heart. We ought to sing with sincerity. We ought to be ready for the Word of God. We ought to bring our Bible. We ought to learn something from the Bible. We ought to be sitting here this morning saying, how can I be different this week? How can I resist the devil so that he'll flee from me this week? And we ought to genuinely worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things I appreciate about Lancaster Baptist Church is that we have a bunch of men in this church who want the preaching of the Word of God, and the harder the better. They want to know what God's Word has to say. I thank God for men like that. I thank God for men who come to church and sing. I think it's good for our children and our wives to see that we're singing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know some of you can't carry a tune in the bucket. I understand that. But at least you're trying your best, and I appreciate that. Reminds me of a father who always sang his children to sleep, and he'd sing and sing, and one day he kind of got discouraged when he heard his four-year-old tell his three-year-old, if you'll fake like you're asleep, he'll stop singing. Hey, when you come to church, you're not singing for me or for the neighbor, you're singing for the Lord, amen? I mean, it's genuine. We're just saying, Lord, you're great. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Listen, how great thou art. It's okay to really mean it from your heart. I'm talking about sincere worship. I'm talking about true worship. Notice what it says in verse number 14. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. A lot of people say these days, hey, do you guys have praise and worship? And they're talking about a rock and roll band and a tambourine, and they're talking about all this type of stuff. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you haven't opened the Word of God and gotten the truth of the Word of God, you have not worshiped. Worship is more than a rhythmic song. Worship is the truth of the Word of God, and we need to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and so we worship through genuine worship. And then secondly, through true service. Through true service. Oh, I think of this matter of serving the Lord. I think of Joshua, how he assisted Moses. The Bible tells us in Exodus 24 that Moses rose up and his minister Joshua went with him. You remember the story? Moses went up into the mount, and he's there at Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. And Moses, the Bible says, had a minister, and his name was Joshua. Sometimes you might wonder, well, when's God going to bless my life? Just as soon as you become a minister like Joshua was. Take a servant's heart. Be faithful in the small things. 40 days and 40 nights Moses was at Mount Sinai, and the Bible says when he came back down, Joshua was right there, ready and willing and waiting to do whatever needed to be done. He was a faithful servant of the Lord, faithfully doing what God had called him to do. Joshua was faithful in battle. The Bible tells us that he fought against the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17. Notice what the Bible says there. Moses said unto Joshua, verse 9, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed upon his hands, the one on the other on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Thank God for men like Joshua. faithful officers, faithful servants, men that were willing to wait on Moses, men that were willing to fight in the battles against the Amalekites. And by the way, God said, Moses, as you fight the Amalekites, as Joshua's down in that valley, I want you up on top of the hill. And I want you to have your hands spread out over the battle. And as long as your hands are raised up, Israel's going to be winning that war. When your hands drop down, the Amalekites are going to win. Thank God for two men, one named Aaron and one named Hur. And they got alongside of that man of God, and they held up his arms. And when he was weary in the battle, and when he was weary with the burdens of life, Aaron and Hur lifted up his arms, and God allowed victory all over the valley. And the Amalekites were defeated. Why? Because Moses' hands were lifted up. And I want to thank God this morning on this Father's Day that for 29 years there have been men in this church who have been like Aaron and Hur, faithful to lift up this pastor's arms, faithful to say, Pastor, I want you to know I appreciated that message today. Keep preaching it like that, Pastor. Faithful to say, Pastor, I want you to know I'm praying for you. I appreciate you. God bless you and your family. We want to encourage you in this way or that way. I'm simply saying, thank God for Aaron and Hur and men like that who lift up the hands of godly men today. And I believe today that we need to have a revival of remembering the Lord in our worship and a revival of remembering the Lord in our service as well. And so we see, first of all, we're to revere the Lord. And secondly, we're to remember the Lord. And if we're going to have a house that follows God, not only do we need to revere the Lord, not only do we need to remember the Lord, but let me show you thirdly this morning, we need to retain others for the Lord. Retain others for the Lord. Now notice what it says in verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now look right here for a moment. I asked you today if you'd pray for our teenagers up at camp. Remember that? And I want to tell you something, and I'm not trying to be sad or discouraging, but we are losing a generation of young people right now in America. We're seeing young people that are more interested in Xbox and PlayStation and raunchy music and raunchy living than they are in the family and the things of God. And oftentimes when we hear of tragedies like we did this week, and I don't care what state they happen in, and I don't care what color the person is that's involved in the crime, when you let the smoke of the media buzz get by you, you're often going to find that somewhere in the midst of that was a young man that didn't have a father teaching him how to live. Young men all over this country who we did not retain for the things of God because they did not have a father that would even stay in the home, did not have a father that would open the Word of God, did not have a father that would get to the house of God. And we are not retaining the next generation. And I'm telling you, the studies have been done and they're showing us that young people hit 18, 19, 20, 21 and they move along and they're leaving their faith. Why? Because along the way, we did not give them the moorings that they needed. And I want to say, if you're here this morning and you're 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, and you're in this church this morning and you're trying to understand the Bible and you want to have a godly life, God bless you, young people, for being in this church house today. And you're with some people that are for you, and we're praying for you, and thank God that you're here today. But you see, leadership is influence. And God wants fathers and grandfathers to influence the next generation. God wants you to do more than buy toys for your grandchildren. God wants you to teach them and nurture them in the ways of the Lord. Look at what the notes say in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, 6. Everybody with me this morning? All right. This can last 20 minutes or 27 hours, depending upon the amens. I'm just telling you right now this morning. Deuteronomy 6, 6. Notice what it says. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Watch this. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now look right here. God said, I don't want you talking about my word just at church. I want you talking about me in your house, when you rise up, when you walk in the way. I spoke with my four children last night about the Lord and about their lives and serving the Lord and just visited with each of them. There's not a dad in here who's a perfect dad, this one included. All of us have regrets, and all of us would have done something differently. But I'm thankful today that I have four married children who would tell you that the man preaching in the pulpit also lived it at home, reading the Word of God and praying with them, driving them to school and singing songs to them off key but happy about it, and enjoying the Lord with my children. Somewhere along the way, we've got to get back to this matter of saying, I'm not going to let the devil have my kids. I'm not going to let my kids listen to that rap music that talks against Jesus and listen to Madonna singing about how she'd rather have Judas than Jesus. I'm not going to let my children watch that gyrating music where people are ripping their clothes off and acting like a bunch of animals. And I'm simply saying somewhere along the line, some daddy's got to say, as for me and my house, we're not going to live that way. We're not going to go that way. We're not going to dress that way. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are the fathers that would say, I'm not giving my children to the devil. We're going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's hard, dads. I know that. Sometimes along the way, children ask questions. We don't even feel like we know the answer. One little boy asked his dad the other day. He said, Dad, where did I come from? And the dad thought, oh, here we go. I knew this day was coming. I got to have the talk with him about the birds and the bees and all that kind of stuff. And he was getting so nervous, and he finally looked at his son. He said, son, why do you want to know where you came from? He said, well, because our new neighbor, they came from Nashville. Where did we come from? Boy, he was glad to get out of that one. Sometimes it's tough, but I don't know of any parent or grandparent here who wishes trouble on their children. It happens. Listen, if there's a kid that winds up in jail, we'll help him. They wind up in trouble with a boy or a girl, we'll help them. But no one wishes that on their children. Everyone wants to see their children and their grandchildren live for the Lord. How are we going to get that done? First of all, I want you to notice this. Joshua challenged others to follow the Lord. His own life challenged them. In Joshua chapter 1, he challenged them to gather their things and to go and possess the land. And he showed them the way to go. Joshua didn't just say, hey, you guys go in there, go ahead and go now. No. He said, all of us, let's cross over now. Let's cross over the Jordan. Let's get in to the promised land. Thank God for dads that get to the house of God and bring their Bible. And thank God for dads that sit down at their desk on a Saturday night and write out a tithe check and explain to their children, the first fruits of everything I get belongs to God, because without God, we wouldn't have anything. Thank God for dads who are faithful to challenge their children by the way they live to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, God, deliver us from a daddy that falls asleep in church. God, deliver us from a daddy that says, when's this going to get over? Hey, we need daddy saying, come on now, preach it. I want to hear it. I need this. Hey, son, wasn't that a good message today? That's the kind of family we need, a family that lives for the Lord. That's the kind of dads that are going to get the job done and retain the next generation. But not only did he challenge others, notice secondly, he chose to lead his family. Now notice what he says. He didn't say, as for me and my house, as long as my wife's with me on this one, as long as the kids don't have soccer and basketball and baseball, we're going to go to church. No, it's not what he said. By the way, some of you ought to go up to your coaches and say, our boys don't play on Sundays. He said, as for me and my house, we've just made a decision. We will serve the Lord. One dad went to his children. He said, all right, from now on, I want you guys to get this straight. I'm the boss of the family. And silence fell over the children. And then one of the kids spoke up and said, wow, daddy thinks he's mommy. Oftentimes that's the way it is. And I don't think every woman that's trying to lead her family is rebellious or like Eve or whatever some preacher might say. Sometimes it's just dads just sitting on the couch eating potato chips, watching football, and mom had to do what she had to do. But some of these Baptist wimps need to get up off the couch and get back into the leadership of their home too. Sometimes I'll go to a restaurant and I'll watch some of these men and their wife will kind of step aside, Norbert, I'll order for this right here. Some of you men ought to go to McDonald's today and say, Matilda, I'll order today. Just to see what it feels like. You say, are you preaching that it's wrong for a woman to order from McDonald's? No, it's only wrong that she's at McDonald's. She should have gone to In-N-Out Burger, but that's another sermon. I'm just saying, we need in America some men who will take responsibility once again for their family. Proverbs 4, look at it, it's in the Bible. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my father. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. We had one of the finest young men, by the way, married here yesterday, Matt Brown. He had a stepfather for a season who also passed away. Most of his life, moms, he was raised by a single mom. But that single mom got that boy into the house of God, got him into the youth group, brought him up to shake his pastor's hand. He's already graduated from university. He's served an internship in Washington, D.C. He has a pure heart. He has a love for God. Don't you sit here and say, I'm a single mom. My kids will never make it. You keep them in the Word of God. You keep them in the house of God. And God will bless your faith too. But I'm just saying, there are too many single moms today. Because too many whoremongering men running around this country. Too many faithless men running around this country. I'm just saying it's time for men to be men and for men to stay with their family and for men to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Someone's going to say, boy, Pastor Chappell was rather direct this morning. I hope so. I think it's rather about time we got a little direct on family issues. It's about time we just say, listen, we need some men to start living for God. It should not be if you come back to church next Sunday. It should not be if you're in church this summer. It ought to be, as for me in my house, every time those doors are swinging, we're walking in. And I believe that would help your home. Notice in Proverbs 4:2, I give you good doctrine. Are you giving that to your children? I was my father's son. He taught me, verse 4, he taught me also. You see, God says, I want you to choose to lead your family. And by the way, notice what it says here in verse 15. And if that seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. A little bit of Holy Spirit given sarcasm there. He says, by the way, if you think I'm evil to serve the Lord, just in case you might think that's a little weird, we live in such a backward society today. And there might be someone says, what do you mean? What do you mean? You don't let your kids watch rated R and PG movies? And why? What kind of a parent are you? You take them to church on Wednesday night? Why? What kind of a parent? You mean you don't let them listen to that kind of music? And you won't let your kids stay out till that late? Why? That just doesn't seem right. By the way, they might even think you're weird. But let me just tell you, you decide for your house you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure at times people would say over the years, 29 years we've been here, I'm sure people say, man, Pastor Chappell, he's so strict on his kids. Good night. They have to go to church all the time, and they can't do this, and they can't do that. Listen, you may not understand the policies, but I appreciate the product. Somebody might think you're a little strange, but you need to just decide, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I didn't want to raise boys who couldn't pull up their britches. I wanted to teach them how that was all about. I didn't want to raise kids that didn't want to get to the house of God. I didn't want to raise girls that thought life was all about getting a guy. I wanted them to know that life was all about knowing God. There's a Christian author by the name of Tim Kimmel. He's like a lot of us. He works at a desk with a computer every day, and sometimes in the midst of our careers, we can lose sight of what's important. And Tim Kimmel at his desk has on his far left a picture of the hospital where he was born, Jameson Memorial Hospital. On the far right of his desk, he has a picture of the burial grounds where he has purchased a plot to be buried, Graceland Cemetery. And in the middle between those two pictures, he has placed a picture of his wife and children in order that he might constantly remember that what matters most in between the time of his birth and death is how he leads and loves his family. And I want to challenge fathers today to determine, as for me and my house, from the time I was born till the time I die, other than glorifying God, My single greatest goal is to lovingly lead my family. You say, well, Pastor, I made some mistakes. My kids are grown. It's never too late to live the rest of your life for Jesus Christ. It's okay if a 30-year-old son says, man, Dad's going to church a lot. Dad's in a Bible study. Man, Dad's really growing spiritually. It's okay to finish strong if you didn't get the best start. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.